have been for a few months, anyway. We are in chapter 15. Chapter 15. I'm going to continue sermon that started a couple weeks ago. Last week, I sat down here and we went through a different passage because there wasn't very many folks get out in the snowstorm. So we did a little bit different. So I'll still be in the same place as we left off 2 weeks ago. I want to continue on with what we've been talking about. In chapter 15, starting in verse 17, 17 to 21 is what I'm going to be reading today. Chapter 15, Romans 15, starting in verse 17. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, as far as, I love these words, Illyricum. I practiced that one. I really did. I practiced it this week. Illyricum. Let's go with that. Illyricum. What?
Illyricum.
Thank you. We'll stick with that. Where was I? Honey. 19. Yeah. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and thus I aspired to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build up on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this truth. Lord God, that you work through us, that it is you who accomplish anything that we accomplish, Lord. It is you. And Father God, it is you working through us as a people who don't deserve to be worked through. Lord God, who mostly just mess things up. But Father God, you use us. And Lord, what you accomplish through us is amazing. And we don't distract from that. We don't take away from that. But Lord God, we definitely don't put it on our shoulders because it's you. We love you and honor and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans, Paul wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the first 11 chapters in a building fashion. Building up, showing us that we're condemned, showing us faith, the faith that we need, showing us the world's justified and what do we do with sin. He worked through that every chapter. Work through it systematically so that we have a good understanding of our identity in Christ. So the first 11 chapters are about our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. And he gets to chapter 12, and he talks about how we put that into practice. So instead of just understanding who we are, but how it works out in our life. How he works it out with spiritual gifts and given to the church, and then he talks about the stronger and the weaker in the faith. Not the better or the worse, not greater or lesser, but stronger or weaker in the faith. And how that works out in our daily Christian life and how it goes back to the example of Jesus Christ, which is humility. Setting aside spiritual preferences for the building up of the body, the building up of each other. And then we looked at the hope, the joy, and the peace back in, I believe it's verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We looked at that, and then we've gone on now and looked at Paul's practice, his practice as a priest, you might put it that way. We looked at his practice. We want to continue that on. His service as a priest was what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And the basic premise of that is that it's God's work. It's not Paul's work. It's God's work. Everything that is done through him is God's work. We're going to continue on that and look at Paul's preaching as a priest. Look in verse 15 and then go to verse 17. Look in verse 17. We already looked in verse 15. We're going to start in verse 17. It says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Therefore. He says, therefore, anytime you see that in Scripture, you look at what it's there for. It's there because of what he had just said, that God is in the one doing it. That God, it's God's work. So here, he says something that's peculiar in our Christian life. Because we tell our kids, now, don't boast. Right, we have a bottle of liquid aminos at our house. It's I don't know why it's not soy sauce. Okay, it tastes just like soy sauce. Has no soy. I don't know what it's got. What's it got in it? Soy. There you go. It's got soybeans. That's all it is. It's really salty. There's no salt in it. It's supposed to be good for you. All right, but it's called Bragg's. That's the word. Bragg's. B-R Bragg's. Whatever it is. All right. And so anytime you pass, you say, oh, I'm the best, you know, so you pass, I'm the best, right? So we tell our kids, you know, you don't brag. We teach our children that, right? And here Paul, he says in verse 17, therefore in Christ Jesus, I found reason for boasting. I have found reason for boasting. But did you notice that before he said reason for boasting, he said in Christ Jesus, okay? So we take our preposition circle, the circle, and you put a point right inside that circle, and that's in the sphere of Christ Jesus. So Paul here wasn't bragging on his own self. He was bragging about what was in Christ Jesus. And I want to clarify that for you a little bit. But before that, I want to read you something that I found John MacArthur wrote. He says, from what we find in the New Testament, Paul would seem to have had more reason to boast than any of the other apostles, including Peter and John. He was used by God to reveal more of the New Testament than any other human writer. And the greater part of the book of Acts focuses on his ministry. But Paul discounted his own merits, both before and after his salvation. He referred to his eminent religious life before he was converted as rubbish. He wrote Timothy, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. He considered himself still to be the foremost of all sinners and testified that it was for this very reason that he found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. We will not boast. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says this. He says, we will not boast beyond measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we shall be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. But even his boasting, this is what he says, even his boasting is within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us, not self-boasting. It wasn't self-boasting, as Paul goes on to make clear. But he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. This boasting here that he's talking about was not in what he could do or in what he had done, but in what God had done. Because boasting always points a finger. Boasting points a finger somewhere. And with many people, it points a finger to themselves. But what Paul was doing was pointing a finger to God in saying, this has happened in my life. And Paul could do that because Paul even himself said, I am the worst of all sinners. I'm the chief of all sinners. I used to persecute Christians. And yet God is even using me. Now, to me, that's an example. He sets himself up as an example. Look what it says in verse 18. He says, for I will not, he explains this out, for I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. He says, I will not presume. The word presume is to dare. I will not dare or have any boldness or courageousness to speak this. And by saying to speak, he's talking about the boasting that he has just talked about. But he says in verse 18, I will not presume or dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has done. And that's in the middle voice. So it's what Jesus Christ himself had done through Paul. All right? The illustration I thought of was using Paul as an instrument. Using Paul as an instrument. Long time ago, we used to have a children's time where the children would come up and we would take about 3 or 4 minutes and do a little children's sermon thing at the beginning of the service. And one time I did it, and one time I got a guitar from Russ. I said, okay, we're gonna sing a song. We're gonna sing Jesus Loves Me. And I came up and I started strumming the guitar and say, come on, sing along. Me strumming the guitar does not sound like music, okay? Didn't sound like anything you could sing to. I have no idea how to play the guitar. So I was just strumming away, and the kids are going, this isn't working, you know? And then we got Russ up there, and Russ was strumming, and it was beautiful. It was nice. It worked, you know? The kids could sing to that, all right? Because he was using the instrument rightly, okay? I wasn't. But the point of all this is that guitar didn't stand up and say, do you hear me? Did you hear what I did? Did you see what I can do? The guitar is an instrument. Just like the violin is an instrument, or a trumpet or a trombone. They're instruments. And it's only the person playing them, it's only the person using them that makes it sound good, right? We are instruments. Paul was an instrument. He says, you know what? Anything that I could do, I am not taking credit for. But God, he's pointing the finger back to him. He says, my boast, my pride, my what you would call something is evil, my telling you this is pointing the finger back to him. It's what he has accomplished through me. It's never, ever. He doesn't point the finger at himself. And he says, look, here's part of what he's accomplished in verse 15. He says, I'm sorry, I love verse 15 for some reason. I keep going back to it. Let's go to verse 18 here. He says, resulting, and this is what Christ has done through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. So the result of what God had done in him was the obedience of the Gentiles. In word, that's the word logos, in Christ, and indeed, in what they are doing, right? So it's the result of what that word meant to them. True belief in word and in deed. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. There's word and there's deed. Confess with the mouth, that's your deed. Believe in your heart, there's the word. The word impenetrating our life. But Paul here says, look, what God has done, he's done to the Gentiles, the result of what he's done through me is that the Gentiles believe. True belief will also always, always be followed by an obedient heart. True belief will always be followed by obedient heart. Not a perfect life. Okay, don't mix those up. True belief isn't always followed by a perfect life. Why? Because we still have the flesh. But true belief is followed by an obedient heart, by a desire to please God. And he says, this is what's happened. God has used me for this. Okay? Now, I want you to keep in mind that he is not pointing the finger to himself. He's not saying, look at what God has used me for. Look how great I am. He says, I would not boast at all. I would not even presume. I wouldn't even dare to speak except in what Christ has done. He even used the chief of all sinners. See, I look at that and I keep going back to the fact that if God could use Paul, then he can use a nut like me. He can use cracked pots like any one of us. He can use any of us. If he could use Paul, because Paul considered himself, and this is scriptural, the chief of all sinners. He considered himself the worst of the worst because he actively opposed Jesus Christ. Actively, to the point of torturing people, to the point of killing people. And yet God chose him to go to the people he hated the most. And he gave him a desire. Well, we'll see his desire. He gave him a desire to do that. Go on to verse 19. In the power of signs and wonders. This is the evidence of it. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. So that from Jerusalem round and about as far as that place that Cork knows really good, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In the signs and wonders, in something that was very evident. You know, Paul performed signs and wonders. He performed them. Why? Because the people needed to see that Paul's message was true. Paul's message was completely different than anything they had ever heard. The message of grace was completely different than the message of the law that the Jews had. Completely, totally a different thing. That Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That he came to build a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. That got in the way of a lot of people. It was completely different. But he backed it up showing signs and wonders. There was no New Testament at that time. All they had was the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. They had the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the New Testament. I'm sorry, the Old Testament. But they were still in the process of living out the New Testament. This is what they had. So they had signs and wonders, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. You had the newness of the indwelling Holy Spirit going on. But this was all evident. It was all evident, showing that the Gentiles had received the Spirit, that they had believed, that they were believing in word and deed, that they had lived out, that they had actually grasped salvation, that God had given them salvation. This was evidence of it. Not only that, but that from Jerusalem around about as far as that city that's a long ways away. I have got to get that city. Illyricum. Let's go with it. Illyricum. It's a city that's in modern day about around the place modern day Yugoslavia in Europe. In other words, there was about 1,400 miles from Jerusalem to there. And Paul had preached the gospel there. Now, we're never told that Paul went to that city in Acts. We're never told in history that he did. He most likely visited there when he was in Macedonia. Because he says he went there. So most likely it was at that point. We're never told officially. But he had spread the word that far. Now Paul wasn't saying, look what great things I've done. Look how wonderful I am. That's not his point. He had preached the word faithfully that far. He had seen Gentiles come to the Lord. He had seen this stuff happen. He recognized what God had done through him. And he was not belittling the work of God. And he was not promoting himself. He was telling the truth so that others would see the fact that God had used them. Him. And the fact that God can use them also. Keep going. That was his preaching that he had fully preached. Oh, the last part. That he had fully preached. Where is that? That's in verse 19. I have fully preached the gospel of God. Fully preached is fulfilled the good news, literally. Made the gospel complete, not by his work, but by God sharing his message of the good news to the Gentiles using Paul. Paul was pointing the finger back at God. Paul's life was for the gospel, for the good news, and he had preached to his fullest. Understanding that anything that came good about it was from God, not from him. Wasn't because of him, it was because of God. Let's look at Paul's preference. His preference as a priest. Look at verse 20. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel. I aspired. Look at that. Thus I aspired. Now here we're getting into Paul's heart. Because I aspired literally means my ambition, to have as my goal. My goal was this. And it's in the middle voice, which means it's coming from Paul's heart. So I aspire, because God has used me, my goal is this. I aspired to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who had not heard shall understand. In other words, Paul's ambition, and don't get him wrong here, Paul isn't finally saying, you know, it's God's work and everything, but look at me. That's not what he's doing. Paul says, but it's my ambition, it's my heart to preach where God's word hasn't been preached. That's my heart. He doesn't say everybody should do that, okay? In fact, Paul himself sent Timothy to different churches. Churches that he had already preached at. Churches that he had started. He sent other people to various churches. He wrote various churches. In fact, he was writing Romans. He had never been to Rome as far as this church. He had not met them. He had not... They had a church going. And yet he was building on that foundation just by writing to them. And he wanted to go there. We'll learn later on, next chapter. He wanted to go there to visit them. He wanted to impart spiritual truth to them. So it's not that you can't. It's not that you shouldn't. It's not that God will never use that. But Paul's heart was that he could go where people hadn't heard. That he could give them the freshness of the gospel, the truth that God had forgiven them, that God wanted them to accept salvation, that he had given his son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation, as a sacrifice, as a completion, as a satisfaction for sin. And so everyone in the world can have salvation. He wanted to show them that. He wanted to tell them that. People who had been browbeat, people who had been taken down, especially by the Jewish community, and said, you are not good enough because you're not like me. Paul wanted to go to them and show them the good news. But even that was a heart that was given to Paul. Because what does Scripture say? It says, in Christ we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives us a new heart. He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. He puts desires into our heart. In Philippians, it says, I've worked in you, how does it say it? I've given you the will and the way. He gives us the will. He gives us the desire, the earnestness of how he wants to use us. And then he gives us the opportunity to be used. You see, God is bigger than us. God is bigger than us. If you come away with nothing else from this sermon, from Paul's life, God is bigger than us. And you know, that sounds really simple. I mean, oh yeah, God's really bigger than us, but look at my life. Look at my problems. Look at my issues. Where do we focus? We focus on us. Why? Because we're us. Right? You don't focus on me. I don't focus on you naturally, okay? As a natural physical thing. That's not my main focus, and I'm not your main. Why? Because we're us. Because we know us better than any. We know where we hurt. We know when our rib gets out. We know when our foot hurts. We know when we're whatever. And that's what we protect. Yeah. So our focus, so Paul here, what he's showing us is that, you know what? God is bigger than us. Even Paul's ambition, he says, my ambition is to go where people have never heard. That's his heart. And yet Paul was writing to a people that have heard. It's not wrong. My ambition is to teach you God's word. That doesn't go against Scripture. That doesn't go against Paul. May not have been doing what I do. Paul would have been out ministering to people in somewhere else. That was his heart. He went on 3 missionary journeys. He started churches in different places. That was his heart. That was what God gave him in his heart. That was the desire God gave him in his heart. That was the will that God gave him. But God's given each of us a will. Each of us desires. He's given each of us opportunities. But each one of us who are devoted to him, each one of us can look at our life and say, you know what? This is what God has done. Even using me. This is what God is. We have the opportunity to point the finger somewhere. Either at us or at him. What has God done in your life? Don't belittle the work of God that he's done in your life. Don't knock it down, because God has worked in our life. Paul, he knew it was God's work. He knew it was his work through him. In his missionary journeys, in his preaching work, his practice as a priest, in his service, he didn't belittle God's work, and he didn't take credit for it. He said it the way it was. It's God's work. It's God's work in us. In him. That's what he said. And he didn't belittle it. He said, yes, the Gentiles are turning. This is true. It's happening. Grace is happening. Because God used me. Because God used me. And Paul, I think, still is amazed. And I think he is, even today, still amazed that God would use someone like him to go to the Gentiles and present God's grace and truth. I'm amazed when he uses any of us. Why would he? Why does he need to? God can write it in the sky. God can use a flower to do more than we could ever do. Can you imagine if a flower was telling you about Jesus Christ? That'd be something. God can use whatever means. He used a donkey one time. God can use whatever means he desires, but he chooses to use us. And when he does, don't ever point that finger at yourself. Oh, look at God used me. Aren't I great? Isn't I great? Am I great? I'm great. Let's go with that. No. God's work got done even through me. God's work. It was God's work that he did through me. And look at what happened. The gospel was given forth. Paul was excited about that. He was thrilled about the fact that the gospel was given forth. He gives the Old Testament example to show that, that Scripture was even being fulfilled through him in verse 21. Paul's heart reflected God's desire, because God put his desire there, just as he does for us. He has given us his Spirit to empower us to do his will in his opportunity. Folks, isn't it great to be a child of God? Isn't it great to have a Father who we can call our Abba, we can call our Daddy, because he loves us that much? When you have a relationship where you call him Daddy, you know his love. He does love you. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, I would love to show you from God's Word how you can have a relationship with him. Not a religion. Right? We do not do religion here. We have relationships with Jesus Christ, because he wants to call you his child. He wants you to say, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. He wants you to have that type of relationship with him. And I would love to show you from God's Word how you can have that. But even in our life, just like Paul's, we have the opportunity of pointing the finger at us or at God to other people. When other people say, oh, look what you're doing. No, it's not what I'm doing. It's what God is doing. He can even use a nut like me. He can use anybody. He can use anybody. And I think that's what Paul was saying. If he can use someone like me, a persecutor of the church, the chief of all sinners, he can use anybody. God's work will be done in you and through you. And give God the credit for it. He deserves the credit for it. Let's close in prayer.